Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, welcome to September. Welcome to this long weekend. September marks the beginning of a new season, and maybe there has never been a September in our lifetimes when there has been more anxiety and concern about what the next few weeks and months are going to hold. In the midst of this journey, we need to continue to turn to God. Make sure that we are anchored in Him as we ride through whatever the coming days will bring. Whether online or in a couple weeks, if you're able to join us in person for our trial services, these services will help us follow God together in the coming days and throughout this fall. I hope that you have been encouraged in our series, Summer in the Psalms. Tyler will be wrapping up this series next week. We're just trying to extend this summer a little bit longer. When we were planning for this series, I quickly chose to speak on Psalm 103. Because it has held for me some favorite verses that have been significant in my journey. And as I have delved into this psalm, it has enriched my soul even more. And it's my hope it will encourage you today, and I've entitled it A Celebration of Grace. Now, if you've been with us for this series in the Psalms, you will know, if you didn't know before, that the Psalms hold a wide range of focuses and orientations: lament, sorrow, anger, doubt, heartache, confession of sin, to celebration and thanksgiving. Some Psalms are more personal and some more corporate. Now, Psalm 103 is in this grand category of praise and celebration, and does so with great skill and insight. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Psalm 103 or your Bible apps, whatever you use to follow along. But before we get into the psalm, I do want to speak to something that you might be feeling right now. I don't feel like praising God. Life is hard. Life is certainly stressful. I'm worried. I'm a bit overwhelmed. The world around me seems to be falling apart. Every time I look at the news, I hear more bad news. And frankly, in the midst of it all, I'm just wondering where God is. And you may be even wondering what the value of Christianity is. Well, if that is where you're at, then let me suggest that you really do need to reflect on Psalm 103. Because you see, sometimes praise and thanksgiving comes easy and sometimes hard, but we need to praise. What I love so much about the Psalms, and I hope that you have picked this up, is that lament and praise stick together. In fact, Psalm 102, the psalm just before the one we're looking at today, is a strong lament. Both are part of the repertoire of worship. One does not erase the other. David, the author of this psalm, knows we need to celebrate God's goodness and grace, even though, as we know from other psalms that we have looked at, he would also cry out in distress and lament and need. We need both. And not just when we feel like it. And not just when life is going well do we need to praise God. And so this psalm is a call, an exhortation to praise. And David speaks to himself and to all creation that we need to celebrate the reality and goodness of God. And that's how David actually frames this psalm, both at the beginning and the end. We're not going to read right through the psalm. We're going to look at it in its parts. But the beginning and the end are this call to praise. Let's look at that together. It begins, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalm ends with this lofty shout out to the heavens. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. David loved to praise Yahweh, his Lord. You may recall his wife Michal, a daughter of Saul, despised David at one point for his undignified worship at bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. But David was not dissuaded. You can read all about that in 2 Samuel 6 if you're not familiar with that story. But exuberant praise needs to be part of our spiritual journey. And that is what David is about here. Do you love to praise God with enthusiasm? I know it's harder in our present circumstances when we're on our own and or in our living room or whatever. But let me encourage you to put on some loud songs of praise to God sometime soon and just kind of let yourself go, because your soul longs to praise God. Praise actually connects us with Him, for He truly is worthy of our praise, which is what the rest of this psalm is going to help us to focus on today. Apart from the beginning and the ending calls to praise, which we've just read together, there are two uneven sections in the structure of this psalm, verses 3 to 5, and then a larger section, 6 to 19, which actually has two parts, but it's a unit together, which we will come to. But first, verses 3 to 5, which is introduced to us by that last phrase of verse 2, forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. That's David's call. Don't forget the goodness and wonder of God's love. And what are those benefits or provisions, acts of grace? Let's read. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David celebrates Yahweh, who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns, who satisfies and renews. Now you might hear that or read those words and think, well, what world was David living in? Heals all your diseases, satisfies all your desires, renews me so I'm young again. What is David picturing here? Well, he is picturing life in God's perfect kingdom. The kingdom that God longs for the world to experience. A kingdom inaugurated in Jesus. A kingdom that will one day be brought to full reality. A kingdom that through Jesus we have wonderful tastes of now and yet anticipate its fulfillment. You see, right now if we confess our sins, we do experience His forgiveness. And even now, sometimes by His grace, we experience physical healing. We do know now, if we have put our faith in Jesus, that we have been brought out of the pit of our guilt and shame and death sentence and been lavished on with love and compassion. We were just singing about that. The Spirit of God does satisfy. He does satisfy our deepest desires for forgiveness and connection and brings us joy and peace. And yes, my friends, we are spiritually renewed day by day as we experience His daily grace, because we are, by His Spirit, alive in Him. And yet, these are tastes of the fulfillment to come. And David, centuries before Jesus, knows that this is the heart of God for His people, what He wants to bring to His people. And so we praise God for all of this, both now and for what lies ahead, because it's all of God's grace. God longs to provide this for us out of the abundance of His love, which now in this great psalm He goes on to celebrate more fully. The second section of this psalm then, verses 6 to 19, is a celebration of God's love and compassion, but it's framed by verses 6 and 19 by declarations of God's justice and sovereignty and power. We know that this section is framed by these two verses because 6 and 19 are really a stanza together. Let's read them together. Verse 6, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." And then verse 19, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." What we're going to see, what comes in between these two framings, is a celebration of God's glorious love and tender compassion, but it's framed by these two statements of God's complementary power and passion for righteousness and justice. You see, our longing for justice will ultimately be satisfied in the God who will one day bring this to pass perfectly. But we can be certain of this. We do not have a weak God, nor a God who is like a condoning grandfather. A just God means that there is also a judgment, and sin and unrighteousness is never to be trivialized. Yet, what follows, though it's bracketed by these strong words about God's justice and sovereignty and power and judgment, is a celebration of the amazing, bountiful, overwhelming grace of God. You see, whatever our passion for justice may be, it must at the same time be rooted in God's grace. I suggest that maybe this is lacking right now in our world. Well, there are then two sections, one focusing on forgiveness and the second on God's tender compassion. First, verses 7 to 12. "He made known His way to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel." David is celebrating what Moses had already taught. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. There are some people today who think the Bible is kind of incredibly inconsistent, and that the God of the Old Testament is angry and vengeful, distant, condemning, judgmental, and then the God of the New Testament, revealed in Jesus, is loving and graceful and forgiving. But Psalm 103 is one of the brilliant texts that challenges such a distorted view of the Bible. This is the Lord, Yahweh, that David knew, the God revealed to Moses at the burning bush that delivered his people and continued to love them and forgive them, though they were so often rebellious and proud, forever wandering away from him and his commands. This is Yahweh, known and celebrated and worshipped here by David and the whole people of God of Israel. And this is the Father and the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who through the cross forgives and pours out his love today for you and for me. Oh, what a celebration in these verses of God's love, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Yes, sin is taken seriously. Yes, we are rightly convicted of sin and need to consider the anger and wrath of God at sin. But thanks be to God, we are not treated as our sins deserve. What marvelous words. We are not treated as our sins deserve. We have not had to pay the full price for our sin. No, God's grace has stayed the judgment. And even more, in words that are seeking to declare the immeasurable, who knows the distance from earth to heaven? And yet that is the measure of God's love. And as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions. What glorious words. Do you know this forgiveness? Do you celebrate passionately your forgiveness? Does the amazing grace and wonder of Jesus' love for you overwhelm you? Oh, the love of God. Oh, the love of Jesus. We need to praise him, praise him, praise him. But there is one more section to this wonderful psalm. Verses 13 to 18. Hear these words. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The first section celebrated the glorious, wonderful forgiveness of sins. This section reflects on God's tender compassion to our human frailty. David is not the first to reflect on human frailty. The Psalm of Moses, recorded in Psalm 90, uses the same imagery of the grass that springs up in the morning, but by the evening wilts away. You see, life without God is a frail and sad thing. A merely mortal life is to be pitied. As good as it may be, it is here today and gone tomorrow. But as unclear and fuzzy as it was in David's day, the hope of life beyond mortal life was there. And David had confidence that if his and our life was planted in the love and eternal life of God, then we are connected to that eternity. Now, of course, what David could only know vaguely and hope in comes to clear proclamation in the good news of Jesus. In Jesus, we find life, spiritual life, eternal life, resurrection life. He who believes in Him will have everlasting life. This mortal flesh will return to the dust from which it came. But God has planned for those who believe in Him a day of resurrection, a day at the sound of the trumpet of God. Lift up your eyes, brothers and sisters. If you have put your trust in the gospel of Jesus, and you are following His ways and keeping His commands, then there is no reason for despair. We have a future to anticipate. Do not be overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. Don't let all the bad and disturbing news of earthly wars and evil men and women rob you of your certain joy in your salvation. This too shall pass. These present circumstances that at times seem to overwhelm will last but for a time. But if our life is in the everlasting life and love of God, then we have reason to praise. And we can praise Him with the angels of heaven and know that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. From the depths of your being, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, thank You for this wonderful psalm of praise. And maybe right now, more than ever, we need to take time where we just let loose songs of praise, to listen, to meditate, to reflect on Your goodness, to be reminded of Your great love, Your compassion, Your forgiveness, Your grace. Father, if there is anyone here today who is just overwhelmed with fear or despair, lift them up. Help them to rejoice in You, to put their cares aside just for a few moments and be reminded of Your great love and forgiveness and life, the joy and peace and hope that we have through Jesus Christ. This will refresh us, renew us, and help us to live through whatever the days will bring. Thank You for this song of praise. May we make it our own this day and in the coming days. To the glory and honor of Your name, we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church. so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.